February 6th. All profits go to fund two St. Linus School scholarships. Join us after Mass for coffee and donuts in the activities room. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join us in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the light of all nations, be with you all.
And also with you.
Greetings to those who are with us in their homes. It's always our privilege to have you join us in worship before the Lord. Well, is anybody else still celebrating Christmas? Any malls or they still playing Christmas songs on radio stations? They gave that up. But here we are. It's the last day of the Christmas season. We don't start until Christmas, and we have a whole season to remember the great mysteries, the great joys and blessings of this season. We ask God's grace now to examine ourselves truly, to see ourselves as God sees us, called to holiness with great mercy. We pray his grace to acknowledge our sins so that we might turn to him, not that he might condemn us, but that he might set us free, that he might give us grace to be who we're called to be.
Lord Jesus, you bring us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
We praise you for your glory.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, when the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, you revealed him as your only beloved Son. Keep us, your children born of water and the Spirit, faithful to our calling. We ask this through our Lord, Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will bless, the Lord.
reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the last day of the season of Christmas. It always ends with the baptism of the Lord. It's one of those rare incidents that is in all of the four Gospels. Why do you think the baptism of the Lord is in the Christmas season? The Feast of Christmas, that's easy enough to understand. His birth, then we have the Holy Family, a family that started right at his birth and was doing all that traveling to Egypt and Nazareth. Last week, that makes a lot of sense. The Epiphany, the manifestation of the coming of the Messiah to the Gentile world. But whoop, all the way from that to the baptism of the Lord, which is in the Christmas season, one of the bookends. Among other reasons, it's because this is always seen to be the beginning of the public life of Jesus. He was identified by his father. The Spirit gave a sign. It's the end of those 30 years of anonymity, of mystery, of learning and growing in prayer, of humble service around the house. Must have been pretty difficult having a mission like that and lying low for that long. But after this, there's the temptation in the desert, and Jesus begins his public ministry. This is the uncloaking of the Word, the beginning of his public work. There's always a question that this incident raises. What do you think it is? When you think about Jesus being baptized, what strikes you as questionable about that? Why was he baptized? I mean, I know why I'm baptized. I know why you're baptized. We're sinners. And especially why John's baptism? I mean, our baptism is not like John's baptism. Our baptism, the sacrament of baptism, is a participation in the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit, things that hadn't happened yet at the time of John's baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. What did Jesus have to repent of? You can raise your hands now. What did Jesus have to repent of? Absolutely nothing. The only one, the spotless Lamb of God. So, why do this? It's precisely the question that John asked. What are you doing here? You know, you've got this backwards. Well, Jesus says it's to fulfill all righteousness. That's not immediately understandable. I think it's fulfilling God's plan, participating in what the Father wanted them to do. Why? We can speculate. It's always around a cluster of things like this. Jesus was humbling himself. Jesus was identifying with sinners. Jesus was letting everybody know in a public way that he wasn't going to be asking them to do anything that he himself wasn't going to be doing himself. He was taking the place of a sinner, receiving John's baptism. He was identifying with us. He said, I'm one like you. I know what it's like to be in your position. This, as in all things, he was giving us an example. Follow me. Do what I'm doing. Even though on his own, in his own person, he had no need for it whatsoever. But he was humbling himself. He was identifying with us. He was giving us an example. And it is precisely in these things that I believe our first reading was selected, the beginning of the servant songs from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant. There's four servant songs in Isaiah. They're all seem to be prophetic. Hundreds of years before Jesus revealing something about the Messiah. The most famous one we read on Good Friday. We thought him of no rank, we gave him no esteem. He was disfigured beyond recognition, like a lamb led to the slaughter, yet he was bruised for our offenses, crushed for our sins. There's four of them, and this is the first, talking about Jesus. He's a servant. He left the glory of heaven. He emptied himself, as Paul says in Philippians, and became a servant. Actually, the stronger translation is usually preferred there, became a slave to love, to the will of the Father. So in his baptism, Jesus gives us again the example of being a servant, the call to be a servant. And in thinking about this week, this simple thought gave me encouragement. There is great glory in humble service. There's great glory in humble service. And I speak this to parents, young and old, who get up early in the morning, who go to work when it's dark, who are weary, who are tired, whose lives are filled with countless acts of service. If only I could get more sleep. I don't really see this ending for a number of years. Parents who, so many of the generous volunteers in this parish who serve just out of their nature. Young and old, visiting the sick, to the young who are kind to their siblings, when maybe it's the most unnatural act on earth to perform. We're kind to friends, even though there might be some social consequences for simple kindness. This world has it all wrong. And we think people in positions of glory and power and fame, that those are the things that must really be worthwhile. And sometimes I think that as a consequence, we disdain the humble acts of service in which our lives are filled with. And yet, it is the truth that even those things that, command the headlines, quarterbacks whose passer ratings are sky high and don't have enough fingers for Super Bowl rings, or entertainers who pack arenas, those things only have true value, and some of those could, if they're done for God. If they're done with faith, or otherwise, it's pure emptiness and vanity. And they know it. But where there's glory, where there's value, where there's meaning, is what Jesus gives us an example of. Born in a stable, no place to lay his head, growing up in Galilee. Even Jerusalem itself was some Roman Empire backwater. But look at the things that God was accomplishing. and these humble acts of service. Don't disdain them. Embrace them. Do them with God's heart. And your reward will be in heaven. And I'm pretty sure it's going to blow your mind when we see how much God is to be trusted and how perfectly true His word is. The Father was proud of the Son. Here is my servant. I'm well pleased with him. He hadn't done anything yet. He was 30 years of what? Sweeping the floor and building tables? But it was what he was preparing for. It was how he did what he did. This is my son. I'm proud of him. That's God's disposition towards us. When we embrace what he's called us to do with faith and with a good heart, it has purpose and meaning beyond the understanding of this world, but which faith informs us is true. God says to us, in acts of humble servant, you're my son, you're my daughter, you please me.